It's the Tiltcast, episode 608, Flat Keanu.
And this week, guys, we talk some Jedi Survivor mods, Path of Exile 2, Stone Shard, and Fallout New London. Stay tuned.
We're talking voices, not other things. And we're back.
Woohoo!
It is the Tiltcast Renumerated Show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
There's no Rusty, and with the two of us, you'll get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. It is January 12th, about 45 degrees after a bunch of snow, and Rusty is recovering from surgery, so it's just me and Jason this week.
Yep.
So it is, well, there is that. There is snow. In fact, it's all melting right now. We got about, my side of town got about six and a half inches. I don't know what you got.
We got somewhere between 3 and 4.
Yeah, I was right on the heavy line where I'm at. So it was pretty, for Oklahoma, it was thick. For Wisconsin, it was child's play. We get it.
Well, also for Oklahoma, it was different in that we usually don't get like the kind of wet, powdery snow.
No, we just get wet snow.
Ours is more on the hard freezing type. So, yeah, that was a pretty welcome thing. It made driving into work the next morning a whole lot easier. Also had the advantage that the majority of town, the roads themselves were still pretty warm when snowfall began, so even by the next morning, the roads on this side of town were almost completely clear. That wasn't necessarily the case of the road narrow one here.
Yeah, well, it's just like I had the employee or the option to let the people that work for me work from home versus working from site. I was just like, yeah, people here suck at driving. So if it's up to me, they can work from home. It's better than missing work. So I just let my people work from home the last couple of days. Which I think they were all right with.
I would imagine so.
So as was I. I mean, I wasn't going to be a hypocrite if I'm working from home, so are you. So, we all work from home.
You definitely had the space to.
But yeah, it's there was a lot of
Said you're a good boss.
Yes, it's my choice.
But yeah, so I mean, even though I'm still not technically, I don't have any people reporting. I still, and even though I could work from home, I still go to the site. If I can make it, just for a simple fact that there are quite a few members of management, but also quite a few agents that aren't necessarily as, we'll call it dedicated. So I make it in just in case nobody else does and things decide to. But really, it wasn't that bad. I mean, my kids played in snow for 2 whole days, which usually doesn't happen around here all that often.
Yeah, I got some gaming done. I had a lot of stuff to do at work. In fact, I got to work a little bit today. But it's been a productive week trying to wrap up some of the games I've got left. I really want to finish. So I had to pull myself away. I've been playing Path of Exile 2. That game's actually pretty good. Once I got past the fact that, I mean, you can respec if you need to. It's just like, I'm just going to experiment. So I got an archer and just started just kind of playing with it, to be honest with you. You can't respec once you choose a subclass. So or you can't choose a different subclass, so to speak. So at that point, I'll probably pay attention to what I'm doing. But for right now, I'm just kind of putting points wherever. The bosses are fairly hard, too. Like, there's a lot of emphasis on where you're at. And Diablo 4 is really easy by comparison. Like, the Diablo 4 swarms you. This just, there's a lot of, like, on the tougher enemies, there's a lot of abilities to try to out and out avoid. And the way you do that, like, it has WASD movement for your character if you want to do that, which I highly recommend. Which means that, like, as an archer character, I can kind of keep on target while I'm moving out of the way. But it forces you to really pay attention to what's going on. Because, like, you got a little leeway. Like, some hits you can take, and some hits you absolutely cannot take. So it's really forces you to be on your toes. There's one boss I want to say I probably took me 10 attempts to finally figure it out and figure out what I needed to do. The nice thing is every attempt, after I died, I was earning a little bit of experience because there's a few enemies that would spawn by him. So by attempt 10, I actually leveled up and was able to use a better healing flasks, which made all the difference in the world for me for that particular boss. But yeah, it's an RPG like Diablo. It looks a little bit better than Diablo. The art style is a little bit more grimdark. Grimdark, maybe not the right word. Dark, like dark fantasy than Diablo is. It's better looking than the first game. The first PoE, Path of Exile, is pretty old looking at this point.
But oh, yeah.
It is, yeah, it's pretty good. You can 100% play that without spending a lot of extra money. I paid for the early access bullshit. I don't know that you can put. Not sure that you can play it right now without that. I think you still have to spend the $30 to get in it.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, that's not that much money when you compare it to, like, you know, I spent $60 to play Diablo 4. So. I'm not sure. Like, there's a lot of cosmetic bundles that are pretty expensive, to be honest with you. I don't see a point in any of that stuff because I don't care. I just care about the core gameplay loop. Maybe at some point I'll spend $10 just because I've gotten like 100 hours out of it or something like that. But like for right now, I just spent $30, felt pretty fair to get into the game as they're developing it. It's still quote unquote early access. There was a lot of gripes about drop rate, early on. And most of that has been resolved. Like, there's a fair amount of items dropping. It does a really good job of, like, oh, I've got this item with no aspects on it. Well, this guy dropped something to make something essentially epic. So I use this gem on this item, and now it's epic. Right? And so I can take this bullshit item and turn it into a good item. You know, I need a bow for this character, so I'm going to use that on a bow. And get a pretty decent item to kind of carry me through several levels. And it uses these weird things called skill gems. So in Diablo, when you level up, you basically level up everything, right? You pick skills you want to put points into, and it's on a branching path. I think the thing about Path of Exile is you can spec into any class regardless of what your starter class is, which is why the quote-unquote sphere grid looks so big. Because you can see every single class's abilities all at the same time. But basically, if you want to like stay really linear into the path of your character archetype, you just go in a straight line and just branch off a little bit. So it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be when it came to that stuff. A lot of it's just basic stat nodes like dexterity, strength, and intelligence. But all of your abilities come from orbs or gems. So you get a skill gem, right? And let's say, you know, because I'm pretty low level. I want to say I'm like level 13 or something, right? So I'll get a level 4 skill gem, and I can pick. The skills go like 1, 3, 5, 7, I think, and so on and so forth, right? Like higher level skills require higher level gems. But I can use that level 4 skill gem to get a level 3 ability, or I can up a level 1 ability to level 3. Which is kind of nice, right? So, like, I've got an escape shot that I've been using a lot to kind of use as my retreat ability, since my character's kind of built around not taking a lot of damage. Yeah. So I can use it there, and then I can use modifier gems for all of that stuff. So, like, I've got an ability that, well, two abilities that synergize real well. I've got one where I shoot arrows up in the air, and it basically creates a lightning rod on the ground. And then I've got an arrow that does chain lightning. So I hit one enemy, and then it chains two more times. Well, if it's around that lightning rod arrow, it chains more times and does more damage. I think that's how it works. But, like, I found a scattershot ability that was tied to another ability, and I moved that gem from that other ability to my lightning rod arrow, and now I get, like, three lightning rods instead of one. And so it covers a broader area. And so you can kind of mix and match support gems with the skill gems. Now, the skill gems are tied to different weapon types, and that's really where your weapon matters, right? It's got a base damage and item modifiers from that weapon. Which affect all of those abilities, but there's, like, so many different abilities. It's kind of, it's insane how many different things you can use to kind of tie together. And I've just been experimenting, and I think that's, like, with the abilities, you can move the support gems between stuff at no cost. The only thing it costs is that you have to use money to respec your skill node points. The story is more bare bones than Diablo, but the gameplay is less, is more than what you get with Diablo. So, I don't know. I like it so far. I haven't quite figured out how to use a controller real well with it, though a controller for the movement aspect would be nice. Been mostly using mouse and keyboard. I've tried a little bit with controller, but it was kind of, some of the abilities felt clunky. Because, like, I have you can map it to whatever key, right? But, like, you have to click left trigger to pull up your secondary hotbar. And right now, for me, like, I like to use two area of effect abilities in conjunction. There's one where these, it's like a vine shot. So shoot a shot up in the air, it drops down, and then entangles and poisons enemies that cross over it. And then I use a shot called a poison blast, which is a pretty big hit, plus it poisons the area right immediately around it, and it synergizes real well with the vine stuff. And now I've also taken a basic skill, which is called pin, that comes from just your basic bow, and moved that support gem over to that blast, so, like, I'm just constantly rooting stuff, essentially.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's really, really broad in the things that you can do with it. Feels very feature complete. Now, I'm not that, it's going to take me forever to get to quote unquote end game. I'm not one of those guys that's going to play this obsessively for hours on, at a time. Cause I like to spread my time. But, I put a fair amount of time into that the last week or so. Cause it's a good game to, like, listen to a podcast and then just play, or talk to my girlfriend and just play.
I can see that.
But
yeah,
oh, go ahead.
Since I really haven't been able to play games for the last couple weeks, I decided to, yesterday, as I was sitting here with pretty bad headache, it was kind of weird. Had a migraine, but no light sensitivity or sound sensitivity, just like the general queasiness of, like whenever I had to walk around or stuff.
Could just be dry sinuses. So,
could be.
I use the humidifier every couple of days when it's this, and you have to use a heater so much, you know?
Though, I mean, my CPAP has a humidifier built into it, so realistically, my sinuses should be drying out that severely. But I made so since I was sitting here, and I had Crystal was out of the house, so I had to be awake since the kids were all, you know, playing outside in the snow and the cold and everything, and I had to check on them periodically. So I was like, you know what? I'm thinking I want to chop some shit up with a lightsaber. But I also don't want to look at potato-faced Cal. in another playthrough of Jedi Survivor. So I went down the rabbit hole of different outfit mods and face mods and all that stuff for Jedi Survivor. Plus trying to figure out what mix of performance mods to use. Since the last few patches for the game happened. SWJS, I think it is. Yeah, so if you're going to use any other mods, like the clothing mods and stuff, the only one you can use is SWJS fixes and improvements. It's only one patched up to the current patches for the game. That doesn't use such a new version of UE4SS as a base that it breaks all the other mods, Ultra Plus Best Performance and Visuals for Everyone. That particular mod uses too new of a version of UE4SS and breaks all other mods you try to add to the game.
So has it changed the version of Unreal that it's running on?
No, what it does is it makes UE4SS allows you to make changes to game engine files. It also, it's a mod kit that allows you to add UI extensions and things like that.
Gotcha.
So it's based on what any of the bigger mods are based off of, like the outfit manager, and some of the like additional sound files, etc. I mean, the mod on its own looks great. Just using the Ultra Plus mod, but again, I didn't want to look at Potato Face Cal the whole time. So I went ahead and nixed that and just went back to that original mod that initially fixed the stuttering for both of us. Or mostly fixed it, you know. It doesn't completely get rid of all the stuttering, but it makes it
100% entirely playable and helps with frame rate to an extent. Though I've been having to still play around with quality settings and such, because I think the last couple patches to the game actually might have made things worse unless you have a 40 series NVIDIA GPU or a 7000 series AMD GPU. Because I've had to lower most of my textures and stuff to medium. Which, when playing on my monitor, is not bad. When playing on the TV, you kind of notice. But yeah, so I've got this really cool mod. So there's two mods for clothing I found. One of them's
Robes for Revan. The other one is recolors them to the white version of the robes that you got at Starforge.
Well, you were showing off the physics of that, and the physics were, like, broke, though, for the robe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it looked like he had a karate belt on that was, like, moving at, like, 6,000 frames a second or something. It was a blur.
Yeah, so apparently there's not great cloth physics in the game.
So the
oh, hang on just a sec.
Yeah, for the audience, essentially what he did is he recorded some gameplay for us, for me and Rusty, so we could see what he was doing. It's not like I was hovering over his shoulder.
Pretty much. Hang on. I'm having my mic software decided to be buggy on me.
We'll be right back. Back.
Sorry about that, guys. Updates decided to run in my background and ruin my mic. So, as I was saying, I didn't want to see Potato Face Cal all the time. So, I installed several clothing mods and stuff, like two mods specifically, one that's Darth Revan's robes and one that's a recolor to the like the Starforge colored robes, which looks really cool, but the physics are all fucked up on the belt and the cape. Like, they're going everywhere because the game doesn't have great clothing physics. I made a video of it, showed the guys, and yeah, it was kind of crazy. So what I ended up doing was, with the outfit manager, you have to install to be able to use those things. I basically end up just using the quote Jedi robe pants that's from in-game and turning off the pants, the belt, and the cape, which still gives me a better looking hood and upper half than most of the crap that's natively in the game. Also still get to use Darth Revan's mask, which is kind of cool. But then I also installed a mod that replaces Potato Face Cal with Keanu Cal.
Yeah, that part's kind of weird.
And, there are several, mods out on Nexus that are voice packs where people have used AI to train several different voices, you know, from Starkiller to Keanu Reeves, pulling a bunch of his audio from both John Wick, the John Wick movies, and Cyberpunk. Which changes Cal's voice to Keanu Reeves. That's the one I currently have installed. Sounds kind of wicked.
It's a little bit weird. It's like a really flat Keanu Reeves. Not that he has a lot of inflection to begin with, but it sounds like a really flat Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, it's a little flat, but at the same time, it's like... not what I would call a almost highly pubescent voice of the actor playing Cal Kestis. So, you know, there's that.
Well, Cal kind of sounds like he's like 19.
Yeah, I mean, that actor's voice is just super high-pitched. Already, so... You know, they've got that. Some of the other sound packs that I just went around listening to sounded pretty good was... Obi-Wan Kenobi voice pack sounded really good. There's a Darth Revan voice pack, but all of the audio they pulled was from KOTOR 2. So it sounds decent, but the quality isn't anywhere near on the same level as this game, because, you know, it was trained on much older and heavily digitized voice pattern, so it doesn't sound the greatest. There's a Darth Vader voice sounds really good. There's a Starkiller voice that sounds okay, but again, because they ripped the audio from an older game instead of like finding clips of Sam Witwer talking or something. There are parts of that voice pack that sound weird. And then the next best two are like the Anakin Skywalker voice and Luke Skywalker voice, which I just didn't feel like listening to because I watch those movies enough that I don't need to hear them through my game. There's also just a voice changer one that you can give Cal deeper voice or like a masked voice. The masked one sounds pretty good. It makes sense if you're going to keep Cal in a mask all the time with one of these clothing mods. But yeah, there's a surprising number of those kinds of mods out on the Nexus right now. People just want to play through it different. And I chose the Keanu head. The Keanu head looks really good. And I chose it because it was about the best thing versus, you know, like using one of the female replacer models or something for him. Because everything else is like Darth Malgus or Darth Revan or Darth Vader or whatever. And I didn't want to go straight like one of those and just look at a bunch of characters I've seen a bunch. The only reason I picked the Revan robes was just because they look cooler than most of the robes in the game, and I'm not even equipping the mask really. But yeah, so I'm spent all yesterday modding that and trying to get it all run right. Got all running right, so now I'm just playing through it to. Just for something different to do. I almost started playing back through Indiana Jones, but I was like, nah, I'm going to let that sit for a bit before I play it again. Just because I don't want to play it so much that it ends up being a boring play, you know?
Yeah, I started to get into some other stuff because... You know, end of year's coming up soon. I'm going to have some time where, not next week or the week after, I'm pretty much out of the country for a few days for work. So that's going to take a lot of time. I'm trying to wrap up end of year stuff. I still haven't decided if I want to finish Black Myth or not. Seems pretty good. I just haven't been in the mood for that game. And so I was like, well, what am I going to play? And I've kind of got two options of things that I want to play. One of those was I was trying to finish up Fallout New London. I'm not sure if I'll be able to or not. There's so much game. I played it all day yesterday, basically. And I don't feel like I'm any closer to the end. Like, it's so much of that game left. And I think I have almost 3 days of playtime on that save. Now, part of that's me screwing around and just exploring different POIs. And I my character's so beefy. Like, I went with mostly a pure luck agility build, which meant that I can equip pistols, right? And I got enough points in science that I do pretty good damage with energy weapons. And I've got a basically a laser pistol, but, you know, a different model of that from that game that does really good damage. So it crits for like 300 damage, which is quite a bit. And it's energy efficient because it's single shot, and I've got bats out the ass. So, like, I just one shot most enemies and sometimes, like, double tap. Occasionally I run into stuff that's way harder. But I've got like 150 stim packs on me. I've got more buffs than I know what to do with. I never die. Like, it's kind of easy right now. And so, like, it's not challenging me enough to hold my interest as hard because I'm a little bit overleveled. So I put that down, and then I started playing. There was a huge update to a game called Stone Shard. And I talked about this a couple years ago. It's like update 0.912 or something like that. So, like, they're essentially 1.0 would be the end version. This game's been out for like 3 years. And it's a pixel art game from a small developer in Ukraine, I want to say. So, like, it's been one of those things where they've had a lot of delays with what they're doing. It's a very small team. It's a pixel art survival dark fantasy, low fantasy game. And it's always been extremely difficult in the fact that, like, I've always felt like I'm playing it wrong, right? Like, I got 20 plus hours in this game and I always end up dying pretty early on. And it's super punishing in that if you die, you go back to the first place or the last place you saved, and you can't save scum. So you can exit. So, like, right before the podcast, I exited and it'll save the exact spot that I'm in. But if I die, it goes to the last time I slept. And up until recently, I didn't know that there was a free bed. And so I went and spent this morning, like, watching somebody play it, basically just very meticulously kind of going through some of the aspects of it to understand it better. Now, apparently, and I'll say this for anybody that's interested in this game, because it's not a real expensive game, but it's a pretty cool game if I can get past some of the basic mechanics, which I have. It's taken me this long to get past the basic mechanics, and I wish somebody would have just said this. Pick the knight. The knight's got some decent armor that needs repaired and has some decent stats for melee. Go and talk to all the different vendors in town and ask them what they need done, right? It's basically ask them for quests. Go and do the herbalist quest so that you can get some basic XP. And pick up the blacksmith quest and start looking for bandits. Learn how to craft a little bit, right? So it doesn't take anything to learn you get basic cooking. So essentially lentils, leeks, and what is the other thing? Onions or garlic or any potato or any vegetable will make a soup. And you can make that and basically go around and you go find the mill, which will already be unlocked on the map, and go unlock that. And once you finish that quest, which is really easy, you've just got to find a key in a field, which you hold down Alt to find stuff. That unlocks a place where you can sleep for free, because if you sleep at the inn, it costs you money, and you're not selling anything, and that doesn't make any money. Selling weapons doesn't make you any money unless the weapons are of decent quality. If you choose to use that knight, you can go one of two routes. You can get the two-handed weapon, or you can get a crossbow. I recommend getting the crossbow. And before you tackle anything out in the open world, go and rest for almost no time at that bed at the mill, because it kind of extends into the area that's around, and it doesn't cost anything to save. Now that I got my free save point, if I die, we're talking about a few minutes of lost progress versus like half an hour and lost, you know, the fact that if I want to save again, it costs me at least 15 gold. Which early game, you don't have shit. So, long story short, I'm finally making progress with that game and working my way past the first quest. It's very hard, though.
Nice.
It plays a lot like a game. I say a lot. It plays kind of similar on its murder system as a game called Quasimorph. Quasimorph is a little bit more combat focused, but essentially every body part has its own health. You can get to a point where you got to perform surgery on yourself, but like you have different debuffs essentially that happen from everything that happens to you combat wise. And so while you're new to the game, it's good to kind of pace yourself with your combat and start to learn the mechanics and understand how to use choke points. Every time you take an action, the enemy takes an action. And so that's important as well. Rest is really important. Looking, there's a button to inspect, and if you inspect, it'll show you where traps and hidden walls are in every room. That's important. So it's taken me a long time to kind of get a handle on the game, but now that I've got a handle on it, I've been making some decent progress with this renewed playthrough. But it's a pretty hardcore game. And because it's pretty hard, at least it's kind of keeping me interested because there's some challenge and I'm having to think about the choices I'm making. And I think that's important for any game for me, is to think about the choices I'm making before, you know, before I decide it's fun or not, because it has to engage me enough for me to, like, kind of care about what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
And you don't pick everything. Like, even your inventory is really limited, so you kind of got to pick and choose what you want to pick up. But so far, that game's good. After I figured it out, and there's a guy out there that Mr. Invincible, I think, is the guy. I don't know. Look for Getting Started Stone Shard and look for an episode series with where a guy like goes through a painstaking process of going through everything and just play the game with him for a couple of episodes. Your gameplay will vary because it's roguelite in that it changes sort of the location of all the items on the map and enemy placement, etc. But the main objectives stay the same. So if you're curious, Stone Shard is pretty neat. The big rags to riches update gives a whole lot of update from where the game was just a couple months ago. A couple months ago, there was basically you get to the main town and then you're out of things to do aside from just explore their open world. And now it's mostly feature complete. And I think it's just the last act that's not there. But as hard as the game is, you may not be able to get to that. So it's kind of a run-based game. So maybe worth trying out if you're interested. I don't know that it costs that much to get into the game. It's $20 or less. A lot of content, though, for $20. A lot of little survival aspects of that game, too. I don't know. It's a different kind of game. I like it a lot. So if you're interested, Stone Shard is definitely a little bit of a gem that I think I was a little bit stuck on and then finally got to a point where I want to play it. I've also been playing a little bit. I talked about Drova last week, right?
Yeah.
Did I say that I beat it?
No.
So I beat that. I want to say it took me about 40 hours. That was a really good game. Like one of the best RPG, like pixel art RPGs I've played in a long time. If you haven't played it, it's a top-down RPG. Nothing spawns in the world except between acts. There's about 5 acts. Take it slow. It is pretty challenging, but not as challenging as Stone Shard, honestly. it's pretty good, though. It is not turn-based. It is all real-time. You know, it's an action RPG. But Drova, I did not expect to like it as much as I did. I think I liked the way the story concluded, and I liked all the different options I had for taking the story in different directions. But if I had to rate it, for an indie game, I'd rate it like a 4.8, but just rating it as a game and not giving it any kind of handicap, like, it's an easy 4.5 out of 5. Like, it was a pretty solid game. and worth nice. Talking about end of year because it was very good. And then last but not least, I started my journey into metaphor. And I know I'm not a huge fan of JRPGs, so I'm going to say that off the bat. I think the combat is pretty good. And when the game lets me play it, it's really good. I don't care about the story as much as maybe some other people do, but there's a whole lot of times, I've got about 10 hours in that game, there's a whole lot of time where the game just goes on autopilot of you clicking A to go to the next choice, or it just plays out cutscenes for like half an hour. And if you're just sitting down for, let's say, an hour to play, I did that the other day, and it was 45 minutes of time where I didn't have any control over what was going on until I had control again, and I saved it, and I was like, well, I don't have 30 more minutes in case this jumps to another cutscene. I'm just going to save it and quit. And then I started playing Fallout. Because I realized I could even just, like, you can pause it at any point, but, like, if you exit out of a cutscene and just go, like, eat your dinner, or whatever it may be, you're shit out of luck. You got to watch that again, or you're just going to have to live with the fact that you skipped a cutscene and don't understand the context. You know, a lot of people giving it, like, a 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. Review, and maybe it is for JRPG, maybe it is Atlas's best game, but I don't care, like, the story's decent, but I don't care enough about the story to want more story than I want the gameplay. I like the gameplay of it quite a bit, because you can mix and match your abilities as you unlock new things quite a bit, right? Yeah. I could have a mage warrior if I wanted, right? But it doesn't respect my time that well. And so I kind of feel like it's going to be, if it's good, right, it's going to be the best game of last year. Because from what I understand, it's about a 100-hour game. And I'm going to make my way through some other games before I retackle Metaphor. So maybe unfortunate for some. I know TVGP people like that quite a bit. I know John from Picking Up the Pixels loves that game. They're also bigger fans of JRPGs than I am. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'm going to back burner that. Like, it's not like the other Atlas game, or some of the other, like the Shin Megami Tensei games. Those games are all grind and very little cutscene, and maybe I'll like that better. So maybe I'll get back into that before I dive back in. But for right now, I think I want to finish Fallout. I want to play some more Stone Shard, and I might dive into... Might dive into Black Myth before the year's out, but I don't know if I have enough time to get to Black Myth. So we'll see. It didn't really catch me or Rusty's attention that hard from the onset. So there is that. But I don't know. That's all I played. Did you play anything else? Or is it just...
No, just Survivor. Yesterday was first time I powered up my PC in 2 weeks.
Oh, that sucks. Well, at least you got some time in.
It is true.
Well, what
else? It's true, but yeah, it's... I mean, we've just had so much going on that... that it's just been hard to sit down and play anything for any length of time. So I've just not done it. But we'll get back into kind of the normal swing of things here, and maybe I'll grab one of the newer things on Game Pass and give it a try. But I was just comfy gaming yesterday.
Yeah, I completely understand that. You don't want to try to get into something with new systems. You just want to mess with what you already know.
Yep. Which turned into half a chore itself, but dang, once I got running smooth, I forgot how fun it is to just run around in that game and chop shit up.
No, I agree.
Doesn't sound very Jedi-like, but damn it. Even just running around Kobold just force pulling fucking dodo birds to you and chopping them in half and shit's fun.
Well, do we want to take a quick break?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, guys, we'll be back. And we're back.
Woohoo!
So it is time for the news. I know we are not as long in the tooth, be entirely frank about it. Having three people adds a third opinion to everything we talk about, so that always makes these episodes a little bit shorter. But we do want to talk a little bit about news. Me and Jason played quite a bit of MechWarrior Clans. I guess that game didn't do so hot. So there are 38 employees from Piranha Game Studios that will be laid off after that particular game before below expectations.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was bad at all. But yeah, it did not do well enough. I think part of it is that there wasn't a lot of people didn't know about the game, right? So me and you had been following it because we follow everything MechWarrior to begin with, which I think is why we knew it was out. But I was looking through comments. I'd saw it on social media when I found the story, and a lot of comments saying, oh, I didn't know this was even a thing. I'm going to go give it a shot. So, maybe they didn't do so good with their marketing on the game, right? Like, if you had Game Pass, it was there for a couple of days, right? Maybe a week or so where it was on the front page, and then it was kind of buried. So it was on PC Game Pass, and it was $40 on Steam. But yeah, it did not get a lot of coverage, though. It got a couple of reviews that were pretty good. I feel like it was decent enough that it'll probably make it to our Game of the Year discussion. I know you really liked it, Jason.
I really like that game.
I'll struggle to put it in my top five right now because I thought the very end part of that game was a little bit of a slog, but I'm a little bit sad that it didn't do better.
I'm really sad it didn't do better. Like, I hope they keep the more story-driven style game going, at least, you know, every other game, you know. Like, I really kind of really enjoyed the narrative bits. I thought it helped separate it from Mercenaries by quite a bit. So yeah, I would hate to see it, like, I'd hate to see Piranha not do another one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If you want to feel old, so there was I was reading a story on PC Gamer, Witcher 3 turns 10 this May. So if you want to feel a little bit old, like, that game's really good, but it is 10 years old now. It looks like around 100 of the devs from the Witcher 3 are working on Witcher 4. So when you're talking about, like, studios not being the same as they used to, a.k.a. BioWare, right? Like, very few of the original people that worked on the Mass Effect series are working at BioWare anymore. If you don't count Andromeda, like, Mass Effect 3 came out, like, what, 2011 or 2012? And we're talking 13 years ago. So some of those games that we have some love for are pretty old by video game standards at this point. But yeah, they had about 200 people on Witcher 3, about 100 of those developers still remain. So we can count on some of the same feel of that game, I'm hoping, with Witcher 4 when that comes out. I'm a big Elden Ring guy. Jason's never played it, but if you're interested in Nightreign and you don't plan on doing anything with your sweetie on the weekend of Valentine's, There's a network test from February 14th through February 17th. If you look up the Elden Ring Night Rain network test, you can sign up through the 20th, though by the time this episode releases, that may have already been a thing. But it looks like it goes for about 3 hours a day. So 3 a.m. Pacific time to 6 a.m. Pacific time on Valentine's and 7 p.m. through 10 p.m. on the 15th, 11 a.m. through 2 p.m. on the 16th, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. on the 16th, and 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the 17th. I may give it a shot. I will be doing something. I may not be doing something that early on Valentine's, so it might be something I can play around with. But if you plan on playing it on PC, prepare to be snubbed. The only platforms that you can choose, well, you can choose Steam on there, but the only one they're going to release it for is the current version of Xbox or PS5. So, basically, to enter, you create a Bandai Namco account and you sign up on the official website. Per the general rules, you need to sign a form upon which you may be selected from a pool of 97,923 winners to get your hands on it early. There's a small amount of winners for the Xbox Series S and the PS5. You already got an Xbox, though, so you'll have a better chances. But yeah, if you do win, you'll get notified on the 30th that you get to participate in the network test. And just to give you an idea of what day that is, again, Valentine's is on a Friday, and the network test goes Friday through Monday. So they are counting on people that actively do not have relationship commitments. I may not sign up for that because I don't know that I'm going to be able to even touch it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll be able to either.
Because I was planning, I think me and the girlfriend were planning on going out of town, and that's literally Friday through Monday. I'll be getting back on Monday. Yeah, that's not going to happen. There is something interesting happening as Xbox or Microsoft is looking to broaden their money base, essentially, right? Their revenue base. Halo 2 is actually coming to Switch 2 and PS5 in 2025 alongside the Gears franchise, Flight Sim, and several more. So essentially what's going to happen is you're going to have the ability to play some of these first-party titles on other consoles, and hopefully Switch 2 will be good enough to play some of this stuff. I'd heard, if you remember, it was about a year ago, they were talking about for some games that you are going to have to rely on the cloud in order to play them on Switch. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And part of that was just the computing power on that device was not that high. So that should be interesting to see that and to see if people still, like in the year 2024 and 2025, like there's still not, it's very much not unheard of to go and look at forums or look at comments on articles that mention one console over the other and see the fanboys just like going at it about which one's better. And then people, you know, hating on PC because it's cost prohibitive, right? But, you know, PC yeah. Overall. I wonder if the hate extends to that. Like if they release it, if the fanboys are so strong that they're going to be like, oh, well, that was an Xbox game, so I'm not going to play it. Or are they going to just play it, right? Like it's also rumored that the Final Fantasy VII Remake is also going to come to Xbox this year as well. So if all you had was an Xbox, you could now play that, which, you know, it's not a bad game. I was a little bit of a slog for me, so I didn't really end up getting into it. I really like the old turn-based combat. I have a hard time with the real-time combat. It feels like you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
For a very big portion of the game before it starts to get a little bit tactical. It really just feels like button mashing. But anyways, long story short, it looks like some of that fanboyishness is going to go away, I hope, as some of this Xbox stuff is going to come and reach across platforms. So we shall see what happens with that. Only got a couple of stories left. I wanted to say that CES happened, and in the world of video games, like, there's a lot of announcements that are very, like, CES is a hardware thing, right? And there are, I want to talk about a couple of things, and we'll jump into price points. I think the biggest thing is we've got a release date for the new NVIDIA cards. And the 5090 and 5080 will be coming out January 30th. 5090 is going to run $1,999, basically $2,000. And the 5080 is going to run $999. Now, if you're me, it looks like the biggest thing is just the new version of DLSS, which will render 4 frames instead of 2. Obviously more tensor cores, etc., more memory. I want to say the flagship model, the 5090, comes with 32 gigs of GDDR7 memory. I don't know that I want to spend $2,000 right now when my card can run. I overspent on a 4090 a couple of years ago. So for me to upgrade right now feels a little bit foolish.
Yeah. I can see that.
I might have the money, but I'm not just a complete whale. Like, I don't like to waste money. And that's a lot of $2,000 is a lot of money for just about everybody.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it feels.
It's that and the 3080, like the base 3080 is up to $1,000 or 5080, I mean.
Yeah.
The surprising part was they lowered the 5070 from what the original launch price for the 4070 was by $100. So that's $550.
Yeah, and it's
a $650.
And I want to say the 5070 is supposed to run as good as a 4080 about. Is that about right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the, the 4070 Ti, I think, was $699.
Yeah, and they got a 5070 Ti at $749. Like, I think effectively a 5080 would upgrade my 4090, but that's still $1,000 for 50% more performance.
Right. Well, 50% more promised performance doesn't necessarily mean that that's it, right? Like, we're still about a week and a half away from seeing actual performance reviews from any of the YouTubers and journalists. Like, so I don't want to say that we're going to be that any of those cards are really all that much of an upgrade. It looks like most of the quotes. Additional performance that NVIDIA was promising is in this new.
It's in the DLSS, right?
It's in this new DLSS for multiple frame generation. That basically at 4x basically generates 3 AI generated frames for every single rastered frame. Instead of like the original frame gen in DLSS 3.5, where it was basically just AI duplicating frames, single frame at a time. So,
it's crazy, you know, though, I've upgraded cards. So, and there was always, it's always feels like a lottery because, like, remember back in, I want to say it was 2020. I decided I was going to upgrade my card finally, right? And I'd been saving for months, like $100 here, $100 there for when the cards came out. It was back when I didn't have the income I have right now, and I had way more expenses than I have right now. And so I'd been socking money away essentially for months. And then it finally came out, and that 3080 took me about a month of daily fishing essentially. on Newegg to finally get, you know, like there was even, I want to say there was a thread I was following that would refresh every time that stock showed available on the Newegg site. And then you'd have to like click the add to cart button like over and over and over again to see if you couldn't get it. And I did that for like 3 weeks. And then I finally, you know, it was like the drop was on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at a certain time. And I did that for like all of November 2020. And it was not a good time. And then I finally got it, right? And then about 3 years later, I lost a lot of bills. I mean, an ex-girlfriend. And got a raise, of a significant raise. And then all of a sudden, like, I had $1,000 less bills and more money every month. And I bought a 4090, and it was after the launch window of the 4090. So I literally just added to cart, and then it came 3 days later. And I feel like we're going to run into that same thing again, right? Like, demand's going to outstrip supply again, and nobody's going to get these Founder Edition cards at the base price, right? They're only going to be able to get the – they're called aftermarket, but, you know, like the MSI or the ASUS card, et cetera, that have like a different cooler on it. And they're not – it's not going to be $19.99. It's going to be like $24.99 because they have these additional features on it. And they're all going to be out of stock, and then you'll just be stuck with whatever's available if you have to get it right now when these launch. And then it's not going to match your build. You know, it's going to further incentivize this crazy price structure. Like, why don't everybody wait like a couple months at least, or several months? Like, I'm kind of thinking that maybe at the end of this year, like, I got things I want to buy. I got a couple of lenses that I want to buy for my camera, and those are all pretty expensive. Got a few trips that I want to take. Got more tattoo work I want to do. And those are all under $2,000. But that $2,000 would vastly eat up my funds going towards all of those things. And so I kind of feel like – and then you need to upgrade a lot of things, right? Like, you don't want your CPU running far behind like the – was it 9800 X3D? Is that the new hotness AMD chip right now?
Yeah.
Like, that one goes for – it's supposed to retail for, like, $479, but you – the only way to get it's basically through scalpers at, like, $600 on eBay. And that's if you want – like, I'm still running on DDR4 RAM. Like, it would be nice to upgrade, but I'm not really CPU bound by anything right now. So, it's kind of like, do I need to, or should I wait about a year behind something's released to pick it up? And I'm kind of trying to think of like the more mature way to approach this is be about a year behind, you know, like you still have a 3080, like that card is like four years and some change old. It's not a real old card, right? It still plays everything at basically everything at most things at like a high setting, not hardly anything in an ultra, but plays most everything at a medium to high setting, and at 1080p, which is what you do the majority of your gaming at, like it plays everything at like ultra.
And most of what keeps me from playing anything in ultra is usually the CPU bottleneck, because my 9900K is starting to show its age, right? Like, that's at this point a 7 or 8 year old CPU,
right?
So,
but yeah, like it's, it doesn't, that having to get the new hotness early on thing is kind of wearing off with me the older I get. Realizing that like I vastly like the TV I have, again, you're going to shout at me that I'm using a TV. I use an OLED. I use an 85 inch OLED TV. Is it 85? It might be 75.
75, I think. Yeah.
Maybe it's. Yeah, I think it's – it might be 65. When it's – yeah, maybe it's 65. I don't got a huge living room. But it's got a 120 hertz refresh rate, which is as fast as I want anything anyway. Not that – yeah, it'd be great to get it 144 FPS, but like whatever. So I frame lock at like 120 FPS, right? But it's an OLED. And so it looks super sharp. It looks way better than any monitor I have. And the pixel density on that TV is also very dense. It's the blacks are very black. And everything that anybody told me about OLED technology, about being worried about burn-in, like all that stuff's old news. Like, that's not really even a thing anymore. I'm on my second year or third year of running this thing, and it has no signs of slowing down. It just works. But anyways, what I'm getting at is, like, if I can run everything at 4K right now, what do I have to worry about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why do I need to upgrade? It's until, like, I've got several games where I can't run it at 4K anymore, or start having to run things at medium settings, that I'm going to think about doing that. And I'm not thinking about doing that. I might upgrade my, you know, like the, go to DDR5 and upgrade my chip at some point. But I'm never getting close to CPU bound, right? You don't get close to CPU bound until your GPU is running so well that, you know, like, it's the same situation you run into, right? Like, you're running something at, say, medium settings on that 3080 at 1080p, and it's using like 30% of your GPU, and now where you're getting throttled is, well, the CPU can only handle so many frames and so many computations. I never run into that. My CPU is always at like 30, 40%, sometimes 50%, but never approaching 80 or 90% when I look at the you know, the meters and graphs. I don't know. This version, like, you think about it, right? 3080, 3090, and 2020. 2022 is when we had the 40 series. Now, early 2025, we're getting the 50 series. Right. In two more years, we're going to get in the 6 series. So, like, is it worth it to go every other generation? And I kind of think the answer is yes. Right. If we get an announcement that the, like, it's the same thing that happened with the 2 series cards, right? Remember, you got one of those for a little bit. You got Rusty's old 2080. Didn't feel like the support on that card lasted that long.
Yeah, no, it definitely did it. But most of that was because RTX and DLSS just advanced so much from year 1 to year 3. Right? Like, the second generation RT cores were a huge jump from the 20 series to the 30 series. Otherwise, like, the 20 series, like, raster performance, and it was reason they got shat on so hard, the 20 series, they weren't any better, and sometimes they were slightly worse than the GTX 1080s and 1070s.
Yeah, I had a 1070 for a long time.
So, you know, there was a lot there to dislike about early RTX adoption. But dang, if NVIDIA hasn't proven that RTX and DLSS isn't the way to go. I mean, so much so that Intel made it their primary focus, getting into the graphics business.
Well, I know they're still running behind, but Team Red also announced some cards but didn't announce price points and availability other than Q1 2025. They have an RX 970 series, so there'll be an RX 970 XT and an RX 970. The numbering system's supposed to be that they're supposed to compete with the 5070 NVIDIA series, right? The only big announcement, though, that I could see is that they're announcing something called FSR 4. FSR 2 really didn't So, like, you can run FSR on NVIDIA series cards, right? And it always leads to a lot of smearing. So, I'm hoping that FSR 4 gets rid of some of that. It's not necessarily, I don't know what it's doing. Is it? It's frame generation of a sort, but it's not done the exact same way.
Yeah, no. It's not.
They didn't
announce. The new, though, it may work. There is hope that it may work better because it's, it is going to be, AMD graphics card specific. So the new FSR is not going to be, open source like all of the previous versions.
Oh, so it's going to be AMD specific.
Yep.
Well, maybe it'll get better.
I mean, if I had to think about one thing that was probably holding them back, it's that, right? Like,
well, it's not just that. It's just the fact that the cards, it takes a lot more horsepower from the Radeon GPUs to match the NVIDIA GPUs when it comes to lighting technology. And so it always felt like the generic, it's like the Temu version of NVIDIA right now. Like, they kill it on their CPUs, but their GPUs have been trash for the better part of a decade. Maybe not trash.
Like, the raster performance is great.
But it just doesn't have all the pretty features that you get with NVIDIA. So it's just like, why would I get this when I could get an NVIDIA card and then have like native ray tracing, right? Like, and if you've never played something with ray tracing, aside from the fact that like in Jedi Survivor, it runs like hot garbage, but you play it with like Cyberpunk, like it makes everything pop like hard. And then it's hard to like play it without it once you're not. And so it's just,
exactly.
If you get the option for ray tracing and it works well, then like that's, you just want the NVIDIA version. Like, the only incentive for me is if their competition with a 5070 series card was like $300 cheaper, and we're talking about a $349 price point with the XT being like $449, then they might be onto something, right? Because even the better version will be cheaper than the 5070 Ti. But if it's not, then like, okay, well, I don't want the Temu version of this card, so I'm going to go with the better. You know, I'm going to go with whatever's better, unless I'm like, just like completely priced out of PC gaming and I'm gaming as close to on the cheap as I can.
Like, in a perfect world right now, the closest thing to competition to NVIDIA's RT cores and to their to DLSS would be if you could take two cards, right? An AMD higher end card, like a 7800 or 7900, and then use one of the new Intel Battle Mage cards along with it, and be able to have that just running ray tracing and have the AMD card do everything else, because Intel's ray tracing actually pretty awesome. Again, it's a little bit behind NVIDIA, but not near as much as AMD's is. But you're not going to be able to split the GPU load like that, so that's a pipe dream. But it's kind of funny. I fully imagine in the next couple generations, Intel's probably going to be caught up, because, I mean, their jump in performance and overall quality from Alchemist to Battle Mage is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and there are some other big announcements in CES as well. So like Lenovo Legion Go S is the first official third-party Steam OS handheld. So, like, notable things about this Lenovo handheld gaming device is it's using the brand new Ryzen Z2 chip, and it also ships with 32 gigs of RAM and a 1200p display on an 8-inch display. It comes natively with Steam OS, and it has different versions of it, but the only real difference in version is the OS. So the Steam OS version launches at $4.99 and begins shipping in May. The Windows 11 version will cost $5.99, and there's a Z1 Extreme, which means it has a better chip on it, that'll launch at $7.29. But it looks a lot like a Steam Deck. Like, a lot like a Steam Deck. I'm actually sitting here clicking through it. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy that we finally got a third-party device that wasn't the Lenovo bullshit version. Or the Asus version of that. But, yeah, like, the layout and everything is very similar to the Steam Deck. So, if you're curious, like, that... The SteamOS stuff is pretty neat, mostly because games are, like, optimized for SteamOS for handheld stuff. So I guess we'll see when that launches, how the reviews go. I'm not going to buy something else. Like, the Steam Deck is meeting all my needs for on-the-go gaming. And honestly, when I use it is when I'm on a plane. If I'm going to see my girlfriend, I'm not going to touch it the whole weekend unless I'm on the plane, right? And then if I'm traveling for work, then, of course, at night, I'm going to use it. But I travel for work like 2 or 3 times a year. It's not a major factor for me. Although I may get to travel a little bit more. I may have to go to the Philippines here at some point this year. And if I do that, that's, like 26 to 32 hours of travel. So I may have to be playing a lot of Steam Deck because that's a lot of travel. But not a lot of game announcements with CES. CES really isn't a game announcement thing. It's all hardware. If you're looking for game announcements, we've got Hyper Light Breaker that comes out here on the 14th. So by the time you listen to this episode, it will be out. And Orcs Must Die has a release later this week or this month on the 28th. So something called Death Trap. I mean, if you've never got Spider-Man 2 on PS5, that comes out on PC on January 30th. Bigger releases, I think. If you're into Kingdom Come Deliverance, I have it on Xbox and have never played it. But I've heard it's good. That comes out, 2 comes out on February 4th to everything. Say everything. When I say everything, I usually don't mean Switch. I will denote that afterwards. Avowed comes out on Xbox Series X and S and PC on Game Pass and by itself on February 18th. And Monster Hunter Wilds comes out on everything except for Switch on February 28th. And I think those are the biggest... Oh, Civ 7 is coming out on PC on February 11th. That might be a big release. And after that, I don't really have a lot of big releases that are already in the works. Like, March is pretty patchy right now as far as what's set to be released, and so is April. And I don't see anything that I recognize, and I follow a lot of this stuff pretty closely. Yeah, the end of Assassin's Creed, like, that continues to get pushed back, so who knows if that's actually coming out in March or not, so we'll see. But I really didn't have anything else. Jason, did you have anything that I didn't cover?
No. Just keeping our eyes out. This is usually the time of the year where game announcements and stuff kind of happen unexpectedly, or confirmations of. So,
well, yeah, without an E3
couple months,
yeah, without an E3, things start lately have just been kind of like coming out of the ether is what it feels like. And it's like beginning of year, and then we'll just start to get announcements. So I guess we'll just kind of stay on top of that for you all.
All right. Well, find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Tell some friends about the Shorts channel so we can get that up off the ground. We are posting every now and then. Again, not our full-time job, but that'll be something that we will be doing. But find some friends of the show. You got For the Love of Gaming. You got Picking Up the Pixels and TVGP.TV. They love JRPGs. And with that, it is the end of the show.
All right. Peace.